B-Pod Studios.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beer. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Listening at home to Touch or Enrich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5, The Sports Hub.
913-576-7610. We'll squeeze in some phone calls throughout the show today. John in KC is up first. Good morning, John.
Hi, hey guys. Hey, I'm not doing too well after last night. That's putting it lightly.
Too much fireball or just upset after the game?
No, just upset. You know, you look at Cleve Blakeman's crew, and they absolutely screwed us. And the play I'm talking about was this referee. I did a little research on him, Mike Sarge Riley. He was this guy who made the call on Brady on the Phantom roughing the passer call.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, I did a little more research on the guy. He has a history of screwing the Chiefs over. And, you know, I've heard a couple of radio interviews he's done. And let me tell you, he sucks even worse on the radio than he does interviewing. And after the game, the real troubling thing, guys.
Why is a referee doing interviews?
I see a photo of him at a Chinese restaurant, and he's downing these things called Saugus wings. And it was just disgusting. I'm so upset. I am so terribly upset.
John, wow.
Yeah.
If you're delving into...
I'm not buying anything that guy is selling about Saugus wings at a Chinese restaurant.
Was he the back judge? I don't even know who that guy was.
The umpire,
just
yeah.
That.
I mean, these Saugus wings look pretty good. You guys see the pictures of my new puppy?
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and that is our friend Bob Fesco in Kansas City. Apparently, we're living in his dome. He's seeing dome way too much. It's pissing me off a little bit. But this is our final Bob Fesco segment from yesterday.
Yeah, so once again, as you can tell there, John from Vegas called in. Many of our listeners tweeting him and making him very angry. But let's just play this last and final clip from Mr. Fesco.
Thank you for allowing me to stay rent-free in your dome.
Ah, he did it again!
Saying dome!
He had one sentence he wrote down and just repeated it over and over again.
Stop saying dome. Say anything else. Skull, brain, cranium, anything. Stop saying dome. And the way you say it is so annoying. Doom.
Someone said you guys need to get on it and do a Kenny Loggins thing. Living in Fesco's crazy dome.
Doom. He says it like with your tongue on his roof of his mouth. Doom.
Thank you for allowing me to stay rent-free in your dome as you're up there eating chowder. Watching you-
Again, what is it with soup? Like, why do you hate soup so much? Like, what is the, like, can't you, there's things to make fun of, legitimate things. And you've had all day, all show.
All weekend.
To think of them. And you chowder? How is that insulting to anybody? While you're down there eating your barbecue.
By the way, somebody said, I'm okay with not getting to hear Fesco on your show, but we absolutely need to get the puppy guy.
Did you guys see the pictures of my new puppy?
Yeah, that was, by the way, a big non sequitur. I'm living rent-free in your dome. Right up there eating chowder. Eating soup. You're up there with your soup. Your clams. Bunch of morons. Potatoes. Creamy broth.
Thank you for allowing me to stay rent-free in your dome as you're up there eating chowder, watching your team go to a Super Bowl, and all you can think about is a Kansas City radio host.
Well, don't put down Kansas City. Now, I like this bed, too. He just lets these beds just ride. Public domain beds.
So how did that just feel?
It felt great for me. What a world. What a country. I'm good with it, man. I'll live in the dome rent-free.
Oh, stop saying the same thing over and over again.
Somebody gets...
My God, are you pissing me off? I didn't care about any of this. Stop saying dome. Living in your dome rent-free. Within 16 seconds, he said living in your dome rent-free twice. What happened?
Well, we just had someone on the phone that we wanted to talk to, but Bird hung up on him, I think.
Oh, good. Was it Bob Fesco?
No, it was not Bob Fesco. It was John from Vegas saying that was not him who called
in.
Oh,
really?
It was not John from Vegas.
Well.
Because it kind of sounded like him.
Maybe.
Interesting.
John from Vegas doesn't have Fesco on the doom.
Thank you for allowing me to stay rent-free in your dome as you're up there eating chowder. Watching your team go to a Super Bowl, and all you can think about is a Kansas City radio host.
So how did that just feel?
It felt great for me. What a world. What a country. I'm good with it, man. I'll live in the dome rent-free up there for all you old Englanders. You'll never be as good as New York, no matter how much you try.
Well, you can send him nasty tweets. He's not going to read them anyway.
Yeah.
But you'll never be as good as New York. You really scraped the... Really come up with some good stuff.
It's true. We all pine for...
I mean, how? What did you watch? The 1890 baseball by Ken Burns?
Just
stop saying dome.
Him anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's the other thing. Hey, bring them on. Bring on these nasty
tweets. I turned your quality filters back on, by the way.
And notifications. I don't see them anyway.
Well, I don't look at them, so you can have all the notifications on there.
You just saw a picture of the guy's puppy.
That's the sound of a man who is very sincere about him not minding what's happening around him. Fesco, I need you to think of a word other than dome.
Fesco. I don't know. I can't. Don't know what I can say. Fesco, are you done with that microwaved cantaloupe?
Now, the question is...
Fesco, they moved you to FM.
Are these guys on AM, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are we going to see him next week?
There must be a rule in doo-wop. I don't think so.
Are we going to see him next week?
610 is AM, aren't they?
I don't think that he's going to... I don't think that they...
You don't think so?
No. They weren't going to send us.
Oh, Fred, come on. They send everybody to these things. I mean, all those tables, I guarantee they're going to be there. Because they probably already planned ahead, them being Kansas City.
Yeah.
John, we just got Beckett's new baseball guide in.
Oh, don't tease me.
The new cards. Oh, look. A 1989 box of Donruss.
Oh, man.
Not a good year for cards.
Hey, Mr. Kraft, we got some sweet doo-wop on the way.
You guys see the pictures of my new puppy?
Suck my old England bleep.
It was a little how about them apples kind of feel for it. Yeah.
What's the scenario in Goodwill Hunting when he says, he just goes, you like apples?
It's after he got...
It's one of the all-time worst lines in any movie. And people think, when he goes, hey, you like apples? And the guy goes, well, sure, I certainly like apples. Who would ever answer that question? Some dude...
So what's the context goes, in which
he goes, I got a number. How you like them apples? Like, it's the worst setup for a put-down ever. Because someone goes out and he goes, hey, do you like apples? Like, some jackass comes up to you, what's your answer?
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. That is your answer.
Get away from me.
Or I thought it would be something where I thought it was like a D's nut situation.
No. He goes, hey, do you like apples? The guy goes, yeah, I like apples. Well, I got a phone number. How you like that? Okay, no one would ever say that.
In what context were they using it on the Kansas City radio station?
The same one having to do with, do you like my puppy? It came out of nowhere. Lenny just saying words again and needs to go back in the corner with his smoothie and sippy cup.
All right.
Oh, thank you, Bob Festo.
Bob, you're about to have your first bowel movement in about 2 weeks. Bob, you're going to be able to urinate with it stopping six times. Bob, it's time we checked your prostate.
That's not right. That's not right.
I'm encouraging people to get their prostate
that's not right.
checked.
No. That's not the noise you make. That's what I'm saying. That's incorrect.
All right. So let's go to line two quickly.
You
went line two?
We'll do line three.
All right. Line three. Mike, hello, sir.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
What's up?
Dude, I've been trying to call that station for 4 days now, and they will not let me on the air. I've tried tweeting at this dude. He's blocked me. I got a little message for Bob Fesbo out there in rural KC. You can take your Jersey Shore through cornfields backwards naked. You can kiss all of my ass five times, and two Sundays from now, you can do it a sixth.
All right.
I don't even know what that's doing.
He's getting the Jersey Shore. He's getting the Jersey Shore confused with the Midwest.
That's a problem.
Check the geography. School.
All right. You guys see the pictures of my new puppy?
All right, enough with Bob Fesco. We've had our fun.
Yeah, there is, however, something. This laser thing is kind of gone next level. And as a matter of fact, I now have some information about the experts weighing in on what exactly this could do and how this got in there. And now it's kind of real. We have audio, too, from laser experts. So it is Lasergate, baby. Full on. Let's crank up it to 11 right
I'm
now.
I'm so glad the Super Bowl takes 2 weeks now.
14 days and counting. So 12 days and counting until the Super Bowl.
All right. We'll be right back.
98.5. Sports Hub.
Hey. That's right. All right, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Never a wrong time for some doo-wop.
Their toucher and Rich has now come out that Tom Brady was battling more than crowd noise. And the Kansas City defense on Sunday, he was also battling a laser pointer.
Mm-hmm.
A green laser pointer.
Yep. And it was during the fourth quarter. And it was actually a Kansas City news station that kind of threw their own city's crowd under the bus, because yesterday they had a footage from several different plays. Now, one of them was a play that was between the muffed punt that wasn't and then the interception that was thrown afterwards. However, they are saying that there's also video of the interception on the pass to Gronkowski, you know, the one that would have essentially ended the game. They're also saying that that right there was there was a laser pointer that you saw on the play before, or like immediately before, immediately after that. So someone was using it at that time too. Now, what does this all mean? Is this like a regular red laser pointer? No. If you see the video that this news station in Kansas City has been showing, it's a very large green, like size of a basketball type circle that's moved all around their face. It's not just a little pinpoint as we've seen before in the past, right, the kind that you use for your cat to chase around the room if you do something like that. This is a completely different kind. Now, me not being a laser expert, although we need some good laser music. I don't know enough about lasers, but I do know that this is kind of effed up. And the reason is because there are indeed laser experts that are on hold and ready to be called in case something like this happens. Because if you remember a few years ago, and I didn't remember this until somebody brought it up this morning, there was a situation with Brock Osweiler out in when they played in Mexico. This was 2 years ago, 2016. And sure enough, you could see bright as day during the broadcast. They even mentioned it, and they talked to him afterwards. Now, Osweiler, I guarantee you, probably played better with a laser in his face than he did without it. But there was indeed a laser expert who was asked about this Tom Brady situation. Here's what he had to say.
That looked a little diffuse, which implies to me that it's probably a laser pointer similar to this one.
Dr. Charles Cobb has researched and written about lasers for decades.
I think whoever did that was absolutely an idiot. And it can cause temporary blindness if it crosses the eye. He would have been seeing spots out there instead of his receivers. tantamount to assault with not a deadly weapon, but assault with a weapon. It has a warning label. It's like cigarettes. Kids shouldn't be playing with these.
It didn't seem to change the outcome, but whoever's responsible might face serious punishment.
Get banned for life, probably get sued by the New England Patriots, if not Tom Brady.
You think the Patriots are going to sue the guy?
No, of course not.
I mean, this laser expert's taking lasers very, very serious.
Apparently it is.
I don't think Tom Brady's going to take time to sue someone. He's got plenty of other things to pass the time.
I just think it would be the best. I mean, if this would have happened here, everyone would have gone nuts over it. The Patriots. But something that I found extremely interesting yesterday, and maybe a little schadenfreude, is that the word?
Am I
saying that? Okay. Schadenfreude for people who, for some reason, can't stand the Eagles. I know last year was the Patriots lost the Super Bowl, but I never really hated the Eagles. I kind of thought that the Nick Foles was kind of easy to root for. However, there's a lot of people who are apparently rooting for Nick Foles, and those people are members of the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Philadelphia Voice came out with an article 2 days ago where they had upwards of a half dozen players and personnel amongst the Eagles who just crap all over Carson Wentz. This is what it says. It goes, over the past 2 months, Philly Voice spoke with more than a half dozen players, plus other sources close to the team, who all requested to remain anonymous, fearing repercussions given Wentz's power within the organization. And what they told us paints a somewhat different picture of the Eagles' locker room and their franchise quarterback than one might expect. Whereas some circles blame the Eagles' offensive failures on the new offensive coordinator, numerous sources in and around the NFL and the Eagles said they thought Wentz may have been the root of the Eagles' offensive problems. They say the offensive coordinator is a good coach who got bullied by Wentz, according to the sources. The problem with the offense this past season shouldn't lie with him. It should lie with Wentz. One thing is certain. Every one of our sources said the same thing almost verbatim about the relationship between Wentz and Nick Foles. Quote, they love each other, they respect each other, and they support each other. But while the sentiment in the Eagles' locker room is that Foles is universally loved, Wentz is not. His aw-shucks, overgrown Opie from Mayberry routine plays well with local and national media. Indeed, sources describe Wentz as, quote, incredibly hardworking, determined, and highly intelligent. But the true Wentz is more nuanced and complicated, with sources within the team describing him as selfish, uncompromising, egotistical, and one who plays favorites and does not like to be questioned, and one who needs to practice what he preaches and fails to take accountability. Numerous sources confirm Wentz was once verbally attacked by a highly respected teammate for, quote, not being a team guy. Carson Wentz's biggest enemy is Carson Wentz, one source said. He had his ass kissed his whole life, and sometimes he acts like he's won 10 Super Bowls when he hasn't played in, let alone won, a playoff game yet. Everyone around him wants good things for him. He did more thinking on the field than he did playing in 2018. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a football expert to see how differently this team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other. They also say Wentz, according to sources, created friction within the offense. According to sources, Wentz tended to complicate the offense. He didn't let it come organically as Foles did, and according to one source, Wentz could, quote, complicate 2+2. They said that the coaches stressed to Wentz the importance of sticking with the play that was called. A completed pass was there waiting. When Wentz deviated from that, it was sometimes met with bad consequences like an interception or a sack. But when Wentz trusted his coaches, it led to that MVP-like season that produced the Eagles' single-season franchise record 33 touchdown passes. They say the glaring difference is that Foles, every source stated, would go through progressions with the offense, exactly how it was designed to run, and hit the open receiver regardless of who it was or where they were on the field. Wentz only saw, it seemed, one receiver the majority of the season, Zach Ertz. They said this understandably frustrated the rest of the offense, considering the other receivers were open downfield. They said to stop the Eagles in 2018 under Wentz, it was rather easy. Stop number 86. They said Wentz also had a propensity to pull the ball back when he was about to hand off to the running backs and check down to Ertz, despite having one of the NFL's better offensive lines to run behind. It would frustrate the offensive line, the running backs and wide receivers, basically everyone on the field at the time, with the exception of Wentz and Ertz. So this article continues to go on. As a matter of fact, apparently, there's been even players who have spoken up against Ertz in the Wentz in the locker room. And now, as of this morning, all of these different players are coming out and saying, hey, none of this is true. We support Carson Wentz.
Okay. Now, it's very easy to dismiss this report. It's the Philly Voice, correct?
Yep.
Okay. It's very easy to toss it away because it's not the Philadelphia Inquirer and who are these guys.
A lot of people forget it was just about a year ago this same publication came out with a very detailed story about Markelle Fultz and what he was going through and all the voices around him and all the weird. We didn't know anything about how Fultz had changed his shot mechanic over the summer until that story. It came from the Philadelphia Voice, and a lot of it turned out to be true. So I think there's a lot of truth to what this story is saying about the whole Wentz-Foles dynamic. I think there is certainly a problem here based on this particular publication's track record.
So what are they saying now that they're going to do with Nick Foles? Like, what's the plan? And I know that they haven't quite come out and like showed their hand, but what is the speculation?
It's Wentz's team. They're going to figure out a way to get Foles off the roster.
They've said
trade
that.
Him. It's Wentz's team. Yeah. They Foles has been great at times and certainly better than Wentz in the playoffs, but they can't afford to toss away the number two overall pick in the draft from 2 years ago.
Played
pretty damn well his rookie year after being pressed into service.
Well, he played at an MVP-like level.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just turn your back on that. You mean you have too much invested. So Foles has surprised a lot of people, but if you can get a first-round draft pick for Foles, you've more than done better than your return on the investment.
You know who could have their fourth first-rounder this year? Or they have three first-rounders. They could give one up. You know who that is?
The Jets?
Hey there, Foles.
No, it's right.
Oh, the Raiders.
Oakland has three.
If he goes to the Raiders, that would be the greatest thing ever.
No, the Jets aren't going to. The only thing they don't need is a strong safety and a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They need everything else. No, they could trade for Foles. Derek Carr doesn't have a very good relationship with Gruden.
How many years does he have left?
Who, Carr? Foles?
Carr.
I'll check. Foles is going to be a free agent, it looks like.
Well, because they could the idea is that they could franchise him or put a transition tag on him, and they could get compensation for him.
By the way, guess who the first player, not surprisingly, was to come out and support Carson Wentz?
Zach Ertz.
Don't believe everything you read. Carson has been nothing but a great person, great teammate, and a great leader since day one. Our locker room stands behind him all the way. We can't wait to get back to work and be the best team we can be in 2019.
By the way, it doesn't look like Foles is going to wind up on Oakland. Derek Carr signed a 5-year, $125 million contract in June of 2017.
You don't think a team would trade for him?
They could trade for him, but that's a lot of dead cap money that Oakland has to swallow. I mean, the cap hit for next year is $7.5 million. You know what? I take it back. They could do it if they want to leave almost $8 million of dead cap money. All the money on that 5-year deal was up front.
Gruden doesn't seem overly concerned about things of that nature, but also...
Especially that he knows right now he's got a dumpster fire in his building for 2 or 3 years from now. So they could make the deal.
Yeah, and also he dumped all that salary off the team.
Yeah. Most of the money that Carr got was up front. $40 million guaranteed. Most of it was up front. Only a $7.5 million dead cap hit starting next year if they trade Carr.
My friend Foles right here, look at him. He's got that long Arizona hairstyle. You guys have the beards working.
Yeah.
I'm just noticing every nuance to your look.
Get back in the cage.
Look at you, Foles. You're all... Look at your forearms. They're all... vascular.
He would find random reasons to reference Foles just out of nowhere.
A lot of our young quarterbacks, Mike, have really shown well this year. You talked about Kirk Cousins saving the day for Washington. How about Nick Foles getting his first win as a rookie quarterback yesterday for Philadelphia?
Yeah. Loving that Foles.
Foles with your long hair and beard. Why don't you shave that beard off? Let me see your cheekbones. Let me see how prominent your chin is.
Why do I want Foles? I got a new expansion team, the FFCA Fighting Crusaders. Why do I want Foles ahead of these other ones?
Because I'll make your team better.
Now, what is this you guys do at Arizona? Seriously.
This is the haka dance.
Where's Foles at? There you are right there. He's got a nice wide base thumping on there. Let me see it.
Let me see that base.
You stink, man. You're going to look down here at Baltimore Ravens and go say, hey, look over there at Nick Foles. He's doing that haka dance on my field. I'm going to kick his ass.
Haka dance. Haka dance.
This is Elway throwing rockets, man, at Stanford. What's he working on, you think?
His footwork.
His footwork, his rhythm, right? Knowing just how it should feel. He's looking at you, Foles. He's thinking, you like me, huh, as a player? I'll see what you got, kid. Maybe I'll draft you. You hear it on the headset. Hey, Nick, let's go red right 22ZN. You should say, man, I know exactly how that feels. It's five and a hitch, five and a hitch, five and a hitch, five and a hitch. Boom! You want that free safety to see that, man. Right? Come on, go with my eyes, free safety, and then...
Take the bait.
Yeah. Look at you. You got to... Where are you, Foles? Oh, there you are. There ain't no escaping.
Why do I want Foles?
Well, you know, so you can put him in your cage and... Welcome to Vegas.
The best part of that is, where are you, Foles? Oh, there you are.
Peekaboo.
Wait, I turned my back for 1 second and Foles... Oh, there you are.
You are a slippery little fella, aren't you? Oh, that would be the best. Hey, put Nick Foles on Oakland, and then put him on Hard Knocks.
Hey, I made some hamburgers out here. Foles, where'd you go? You in the pool? Oh, you're back in the... You're all right, you're in the pool house. All right, well, I'll just leave this burger for you.
You're chewing through this leash. Don't ever mind that. Or daddy's got to give you the Zapparoo again.
Hey, Foles, come on. What do you need a suit for? No one here but the boys.
All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
Oh, the nominations for the Academy Awards have just been released. So we will find out who's been nominated. Did Black Panther become the first superhero film ever to be nominated for Best Film? We shall see.
Here are the headlines. Jerry Rabish.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Nanny at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
All the Oscar nominations have been announced as of this morning. And for Best Picture, we have History, the very first comic book movie to be made a Best Picture nominee. Black Panther is now nominated for Best. And you know what? Here's a controversial opinion for you. Black Panther, not even the best Marvel movie released last year.
What are the odds it wins, though?
It's not going to win. This is kind of one of those, all right, shut up. We know you wanted to push Black Panther to be Best Picture. We gave it to you. It's not going to win.
My kids and I got through about 20 minutes of Black Panther.
You see, I think it's good. As a matter of fact, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, fine. And then I saw it a second time, and I really liked it. It's good. But, I mean, it's middle-of-the-pack Marvel movies. Like, it's like middle-of-the-pack. Because I can instantly name like five that are better, including I thought Infinity War was a better Marvel movie. Thor Ragnarok, which just came out, was a better Marvel movie. The first Iron Man by far was a better movie. I thought Doctor Strange might have even been better. There's a lot that are better than this. I thought the last Spider-Man movie was better than Black Panther. Now it's better than some, there's some awful, not awful, there's some kind of bad. That's the thing about Marvels. They don't really make bad movies. I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was better than Black Panther, but either way, that is kind of cool. First comic book movie nominated. And underneath that, Black Panther, you've got Black Klansman, which was very good. Did you guys get to see that yet?
No, but I have it at my parents'
house. Yeah, it's very good. Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen biopic, that is up for Best Picture. The Favorite, which is spelled all British and stuff. Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice. Fred, out of all those movies, how many have you seen?
I have seen none.
I used to see every single one that came out every year, no matter how bad it was.
All right. There's a Key and Peele where Stan Lee comes into, it's Key or Peele, dressed up as Stan Lee, and he comes in and he's got these ideas for characters.
Yeah.
And it's like Balance Man. In like Memory Man, he can always remember where the phone is.
It's like the worst superheroes ever.
No, it's just he's old. He's just making these old characters.
Do you remember that movie Mystery Men? It came out with Pee Wee Herman
Greg
was
Kinnear.
In it.
Greg
Kinnear and Ben Stiller, and it was like the worst superheroes ever. And they had like I think like Paul Rubens's superpowers that he could fart. Was Dane Cook in it? I don't remember that.
Jeanine Garofalo,
I believe, was in as well. Yeah. Lead actor, Christian Bale in Vice, because, you know, he got fat. Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born. Willem Dafoe in a movie I'd never even heard of called At Eternity's Gate. The dude who played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. And Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. If you want to see a really freaky Viggo Mortensen book or movie, see The Road. Oh, that is a nightmare.
Where am I, man?
Where am I, man?
Dr. Balance.
Where am I, man? That's good. Lady Gaga was nominated for lead actress, and Melissa McCarthy as well.
Thermostat control, man? He can always change the temperature on the thermostat.
Scratches himself in the middle of the night, man.
Yes,
that would be my dad in a nutshell. Thermostat man who scratches himself.
He knows how to use the phone and the computer.
That's great.
All right. I'm sorry.
I need to see that.
I'm off on a tangent.
And really, there's not a lot of other ground being broken here. Although animated feature, if Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse does not win, then we have something wrong there. No, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was better than Black Panther.
That's going to win for sure. I'll tell you this, is I don't like A Star Is Born being nominated.
Why?
It's the third time they've made it.
But remakes have been...
It's the same story.
Yeah, but I mean, remakes are nominated a lot. And like, you know, from things from books, things from old movies. I mean, that's happened before.
That recent a movie, like a 70s movie?
I don't know.
It's like the same movie, just with different actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
He kills himself at the end.
What? That's what everyone
Fred!
Says.
Fred! Jesus! He's just sitting there killing himself.
Come on!
I don't need to see that.
No, I have not seen that. Well, now here's some movies that I would like to see. And they're all being nominated for a Razzie Award. You're no good. You get a Razzie.
Thumbs down. Cheers.
Cheers to you. Worst Picture. The nominees are Winchester, Robin Hood, Holmes and Watson, which is a crime. How can that movie be as bad as everyone says it is? There's no possible way. The Happy Time Murders, which is based... Yes, Bob Fesco. That is the same feeling I feel, or the thing I would say when I found out Holmes and Watson got like 2% positive.
I wanted to see it, and then, I mean, the reviews were so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
It stopped me from going, too. Same thing. I'm like, look, wow.
By the way, I watched That's My Boy again.
I love That's My
Boy.
That's
a good movie.
That's a good movie. That's like out of a sea of crap that... Adam Sandler has made, That's Boy, My Boy comes out of nowhere and is legitimately funny.
And so my point is that I like movies that are deemed immature or bad, but I have a feeling this Holmes and Watson is just bad.
I can't think of two movies that get more exponentially better every time I watch them than Step Brothers and now Talladega Nights. For a while, I was like, Talladega Nights was fine. Now that's the new one that I'm on. That it's on TV all the time, apparently, and the remote doesn't it stops when it's on. And there's a new line every single time I watch it that I like better than, like, it becomes my favorite line.
Yeah, there's Something About Mary has been my movie now that I have the movie channels.
You see, when it comes to the Farrellys, I'm always in a battle between Kingpin and Dumb and Dumber. And it's usually the one that I saw most recently is my favorite of the two. Something About Mary is very funny. There's some great parts. But I mean, Kingpin touches the sun at times.
Yes, Kingpin's a great movie as well.
Also nominated for Worst Picture, a movie that I promised myself that I would watch, and I still have not gotten around to it because of all of the rumors of it being the worst film, one of the worst films of all time, Gotti. John Travolta as John Gotti, as directed by E! From Entourage.
Yeah, this is a movie which makes it even funnier that was like his passion project.
Yeah, and he wanted to be nominated for like Best Actor.
Yeah, he thought this was like an Oscar-worthy film.
Well, instead it's a Razzie-nominated film. Worst Actress, Jennifer Garner for Peppermint, Amber Heard for blah, 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 and a bunch of people you don't know. Worst Actor, Johnny Depp, voice only for Sherlock Gnomes. Well, that's kind of low. I don't think Johnny Depp's that good of an actor. Will Ferrell for Holmes and Watson, John Travolta for Gotti, Donald Trump as himself in the movie Death of a Nation and Fahrenheit 11-9.
That sounds like documentaries that he's pictured in, and that seems like a slap in the face to the old press.
Yeah. Well, everyone's talking about how good Tony Romo was at the end of the game, even for us who have been very critical of him. He called every important play during that final run. And because of that, CBS says that he's going to be getting a very, very big raise. He has one more year left on his current 3-year contract with CBS, and he's making roughly $4 million now. But they're saying a significant raise is to come because they're going to try to come to an extension after the season is over. Now, here's what we know as far as the highest paid football broadcasters. We know that Madden made a ridiculous $8 million a year, I think, in his final year. Which, think about that. When was his last year?
Well, at least a decade, right?
Oh, yeah. It was in the 90s. I thought it was... He didn't make it to 2000s, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay, so sometime in the 90s, you're making $8 million a year. That's ridiculous. And the other one that's even the closest one I can think of from that was that Gruden was reported to have made $6.5 million a year with ESPN. So you have to think, if he's making $4 million now, he's going to be making $7 to $8 million after this. Because the way that everyone's just fainting over this guy, he could probably go anywhere else if he wanted to afterwards. And speaking of that, while I was looking at this story, right next to it was this thing, the complete list of Super Bowl halftime performers and themes. Oh, my God. Do you remember when they had the first 3D Super Bowl halftime show and they had a guy named Elvis Presto doing it?
Yes.
You got the glasses at like 7-Eleven or something like that to watch it? Yep. Yeah, there was that. And then Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye was the theme in 1995 with Tony Bennett, Patti LaBelle, Arturo Sandoval, and the Miami Sound Machine.
Miami Sound Machine sneaks into a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know? a lot of garbage.
Yeah, like for a band that hasn't been relevant for a while, they're sneaking into a lot of stuff.
Hang on. I don't remember. Oh, I do remember this. 1997, Fred, right up your alley. The Blues Brothers Band.
Oh, I do remember that.
With Dan Aykroyd, John Goodman, James Belushi,
yep,
and ZZ Top.
Yeah, that was when they still had Butt Bowl. Go ahead.
John Madden retired in April of 2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. All right. Well, we will come back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way. Another one of these Stanleys is the Gray Chaser, who's a woman in her 40s who likes older men. All right. So we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At 5 to Sports Hub, we are Thatcher and Rich.
Zolak, do me a favor, pop your headphones on, if you don't mind. We have Scott Zolak in
Hang
studio.
Hang on, get set up. Traffic's right. A little crazy today.
Okay.
Bad Boys for Life. Bump, bump. I was bumping out the whole way. Bump, 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 bump.
You just were pressing repeat on Tom Brady's Instagram over and over?
Yep.
This is something that I'm sure you, by now, have probably seen.
Let me see.
Fans, catch Zolak and Bertrand on NBC Sports Boston. Don't miss our daily simulcast each weekday from 10 to 2 for the latest in Boston sports talk. So I see what he's doing. Zolak and Bertrand, they're brought to you by Awakened 180 Weight Loss. That is Mark right there. It's kind of, Don't let him fall.
And now it's time for the Awakened 180 Turning Point.
Mark, who was at the game last night, and they busted him when it looked like he was sleeping.
It's pouring under the bucket, I guess. Yeah, when in that first row underneath the bucket.
On the damn court.
You guys know how tired we were, how punchy we started to get, and Beetle was up late, obviously, too, doing the post game. And
yeah. Oh, we're not knocking Beetle for falling asleep.
I went to bed last night at 8:03 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I got up at 7:30 today. So I got like over 11 hours of sleep because I thought sleep is for losers. I feel pretty good today. I don't feel like a loser. So now I'm kind of torn. I'm back and forth.
Sure.
Now, but
did he have to go to the game?
He planned to go to the game because it was an early game and he took his wife.
Right.
Now, I do know Beetle, and being next to him, there are times you look over, and I do the same thing where you're looking down at your phone, and it looks like you're sleeping, but you're not. You know, so he could have been on his phone. He'll be in to defend himself.
Oh, no, it was just funny.
It was a Francesa moment.
Well, he actually tweeted, he was like, what the hell, NBC Sports Boston? Was that?
They should tell me I was snoring. You should tell me he was on the kissing cam, and he could have sucked face, and put him up there on the big board.
Speaking of Francesa, we have not gotten
you got.
I'll see him down there.
Did you hear Francesa yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
I can't make fun of him too much because at first I thought that was real too.
Yeah, like Mad Dog Radio's already requested to get me on Francesa. Well, at some point, I'll talk to him. He's the kid from Boston that does the sports broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. He was just by himself last year.
He didn't want to talk to anybody. He's like, I said, tell Parcells hi. I see Bill. I talk to Bill all the time. You know, we own.
They have
horses.
To be GM.
Yeah. In 1980, or was it 1990, 1991? I could have been an NFL head coach. I could have coached. I don't know how successful I would have been, but I would have been a coach.
The
NFL asked
name.
Me. Yeah.
who ran the group, and who said to the pool reporter that it was a judgment call, and he wasn't even sure what call they were talking about. If you were the referee of that game, and you didn't realize you had a problem on your hands, and that is your honest statement, you should be fired. You should never have another jersey, whether you exchange them with players before the game, which should be an outrageous thing to begin with. No way should an official be exchanging jerseys with a player before a game. That's such a bad thing to do, number one. Number two.
Okay, so he basically thought that that phone shop with Todd Gurley was real.
I'm stupid, too, because when I first saw it, I'm like, what the hell?
If you look at the picture, it says, like, it's got the company, the Photoshop.
Well, I realized eventually, but I did, for a moment in time, think that it was real.
Were you asleep?
No, I wish I was.
That was pretty funny how they put you on there and they did the promo.
It's such a bad look.
But I was saying, I don't blame you. You had to work late the night before.
If I kicked back there, I could have taken a nap.
We're on TV now all the time. You think a little heads up. Hey, Mark, we're coming to you next break.
They didn't give me a heads up.
You put your fingers up behind your wife's head, do something, have fun with it. You know, we're coming to you.
They wouldn't even put us on TV. If you're at the game. All right, you guys have a great show.
Because ladies would have gone crazy.
That's right.
They would have. Stadium.
The
garden.
I would have had a sea of women coming up to me.
You guys see the pictures of my new puppy?
You guys have a great show. That'll do it for us. That wasn't our show.
Tangway's dog is so excited he's leaving.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.